I think that this is really, really foundational technology that is leading to future advancements. So when you think about what's going on right now with these software systems, we can look through an enormous amount of data. The databases are scaled right now that they can handle just, terabytes of information. And, with the advent of artificial intelligence, these are the platform systems that are really going to drive that technology in the coming years.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Kemin invites you to optimize animal feed quality and safety with our portfolio of solutions. Learn more at kemin.com/AG. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge.
Welcome to the Feed Science Podcast on behalf of Wisenetics. Thanks for joining us. I'm Adam Farenholz coming from North Carolina State in the Animal Food Manufacturing Program. Thanks for watching on YouTube or listening on your podcast app of choice. Please do like and review and give us comments back of what you've enjoyed seeing and anything else that you'd like for us to talk about and guests you'd like for us to have so that we can continue to make this podcast something that you are getting a lot of good information from. Excited today to talk. We've got one of our sponsors of the podcast and of Wisenetics on to talk with us today, as well as an academic from one of our great universities in the agricultural space. We're going to talk a little bit about how we can use technology, and especially on the nutrition and formulation side, to make our academic research and our academic teaching efforts better. So coming from a university myself, these are always things that I really, really enjoy having conversations about. So my guests today are Michael Murphy. He is the president of Best Mix USA. And then we've also got Amy Petrie. Amy is an assistant professor at the University of Missouri in the Department of Animal Science. Hey, thanks both of you for joining me.
Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you bet. So some of you guys will probably be somewhat familiar to some of our audience, and we don't need to get into like the full CV, but if you wouldn't mind, we'll have each one of you introduce yourselves, give a little bit of your background and kind of how you came to be doing what you're doing today and what that kind of looks like in your space. And Michael, we'll start with you.
All right. Well, again, Adam, thank you for having us. It's a pleasure to be here. I am a relative newbie to the industry. So I came out of heavy manufacturing. I joined Best Mix about 4 years ago, and I had a relationship with the CEO. He ran a software company in the printing industry, and him and I did lots of projects together. Lots of custom software developments and ERP implementations. So that was my connection to the industry, and very, very happy to be here.
Thanks, Amy.
Yeah, thanks for having us. I'm an assistant professor at the University of Missouri. I'm a swine nutritionist by training. I lead the monogastric nutrition program here. My appointment's about 60% research and 40% teaching. I have 6 graduate students and 8 undergraduate students that work in my lab. And then every semester, I teach between 150 and 240 students in our general nutrition labs, as well as a monogastric nutrition class, where we focus in on feed formulation. And that's how I got into this podcast today, working with Best Mix and teaching undergraduate students formulation.
Awesome. All right. So it seems like then the question to start with, this is for you, Michael. How does Best Mix then work with universities to support the kind of effort in learning about formulation from this kind of digital perspective and all the tools that are out there for that?
Yeah. So when I came on to Best Mix, we created about 3 years ago our university partnership program. And in this, we take a holistic approach to education. We think about Best Mix, the university, the student, as well as the industry as a whole. And in this program, the first thing we do is we'll donate our software to the university for them to use in their classes. And then we also do recruiting at the university. And then we will do some internships with the students, as well as we have the ability to sponsor some research projects as they come up.
And then, so Amy, how did you end up kind of becoming connected with Best Mix?
Yeah, so my connection with Best Mix started in graduate school. So when I was at Iowa State, we used Best Mix in our research program there to help formulate diets for research projects. And so I learned feed formulation with that software. And then when I was at Texas Tech University, I emailed Best Mix and said, hey, I'm teaching a bunch of students and I'd like to have a least cost formulation software to be able to work with. And so that initiated that partnership that we have with Best Mix. And then when I moved to the University of Missouri 2 years ago, we adopted that software as well to be able to utilize it in the classroom.
From Best Mix perspective, Michael, can you describe to some extent like why this partnership is important, right? Obviously, you know, you don't have to donate things like this, and you're not necessarily in a situation where you're selling a product directly to, you know, that the university is doing. You're donating it. And so why is that? What has made Best Mix interest in this kind of a partnership approach to things?
Yeah, you know, we really feel strongly about students coming out of universities using the latest and the greatest of technology. And we think that's very, very important for the industry. We think it's very important for the students to be able to get good jobs. And with the digitization of the industry and the advancements in software and in technology, it's very, very important for students to have this comfort level when they come out, and to be able to work in the software when they're at the university, to have an understanding of its impact on their companies as well as the industry.
That certainly is, you know, a benefit, you know, hopefully to those that are hiring folks that they know, you know, they've had experience working with at least one of the softwares out there that's capable of doing this. What does that, you know, I assume there must be some sort of you know, metric from your perspective that you can say, well, how have we directly benefited from as well? Because there's always, you know, some extent of an ROI when we look at these kind of partnerships.
Yes, for sure. And yeah, I'm very, very proud of the fact that in the last 3 years, we've been able to build out a really, really strong nutritional consulting team, of which right now the composition of that team is about 75%. Of our consultants came through the university partnership program. And they had really, really good familiarity with the software. They understood how that, you know, connected with our customers and with the industry. And when they joined us, they were able to get up to speed very, very quickly and provide what I consider to be world-class service to our customers.
Sure, that's up to speed quickly. I as you were talking about that, I assume they're probably really easy to hit the ground running, not nearly as much training required, at least on the nuts and bolts of how to do things. Obviously, there's always that experience and on the job part of it, but it they're not sitting down in front of a screen thinking, I've never seen this before.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, in addition to learning about animal nutrition and learning about all the specific nutritional, you know, items that Amy and those programs teach, what we find is there's just a comfort level with the software, and they just fundamentally understand how does software play into my job, into my career, and then, you know, how can we make some improvements?
Gotcha. So a couple of questions for you, Amy, and If I'm going to ask them both, and then if we need to, you know, tackle one at a time, come back to that, that's perfectly fine. I'm interested in both, like, how you're using it in the classroom, but I'm also interested in why you're using it. And in some ways, I'm thinking those things together, because we have just conversations a lot when we talk about things like formulation and the need to understand the basics of what's happening. So that's what's happening behind the screen isn't just some sort of magic, right? So some basis in the math of what's going on with linear programming, linear solving of equations and things like that. But then at some point, it just becomes tedious, obviously, to try to do it all by hand. And we've kind of now just made it busy work. So can you describe how you're using it, but also, you know, why and kind of where along the teaching line you transition from now you understand the basics of what the math is doing. Now we're going to give you a tool to use.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that one. So when I think about the why, I'll probably start there. I remember back to when my undergraduate days and learning about nutrition and formulation. And we did a lot of things by hand and then switched into Excel to do some very basic linear formulation, least cost diets. And Excel is cumbersome to do that. And so thinking about my transition into graduate school and even the applied side now and through research is, you know, what would I have wanted to give back to myself as a student to make me better equipped in the types of jobs or what our industry needs? And to me, that's pairing both the foundational knowledge, understanding what's going on behind the software with the applications of how to utilize a least cost software system. And more so, not necessarily which buttons to pull, but what happens when you pull which buttons and when you put too many constraints on or you don't have all of the nutrient specs in your loadings and those things. And so here at Missouri, when I took this job, I my teaching is almost exclusively in nutrition. And so I co-teach a large nutrition combination feeds and feeding class. So I teach a lab. I teach 8 1-hour labs a week. It's a flipped classroom design. So the students watch a lecture online and then they come into the lab and we work through the hand-by-hand calculations of calculating requirements, dry matter, as fed, and then go into the basics of algebra formulation on paper. And so that's an entire semester. And then towards the end of that class, we demo Best Mix as a least cost software and saying, okay, we did this diet on paper. You did, you know, 5 pages worth of calculations. This is how it's done. And this is when you do it in a computer. And so we introduce the software to them. We don't really go into utilizing the software yet. That comes in their next class. And so they take that nutrition class as a junior, and then they have an option to take either ruminant nutrition or monogastric nutrition as a senior level course. And I teach the monogastric nutrition class. And so I taught that this past fall. We had 90 students in that class. And so we taught 90 students how to do least cost formulation. And we did that in a team-based learning framework. So we paired students up to teams to four, got them access to the software. And then we did a step-by-step program building of how we utilize the software. So it started from, okay, you've been assigned either broilers or growing pigs. What ingredients do you need? What specs do you need? How do you determine if you have the right nutrient specs in the software? And then we move into requirements and then formulating with that. And then from there, we go through a series of exercises as a group of what happens when you put too many constraints on, or if the cost of energy changes, or if you use a different energy system. So we work through all of those the things that you learn by doing when you're using Lysing software. And then we turn the students loose and say, okay, you get to pick any monogastric species that you want, and you can formulate a diet for them. And I will tell you, it's quite fascinating what they come up with. We had diets for tortoises, turkeys, horses, dogs, cats, and everything. And so they had to do both fixed formulation and least cost formulation. But they get to understand, you know, the basics of the system, but then apply it to something they're interested in. And to me, I think that gives students buy-in. Okay, we're not just learning a software. We're learning a software, but we're learning the why behind it and then able to apply it to other animals.
It's funny as you say that. And I love the approach. It makes all the sense in the world to me, because one of the things that I see when we see students that are primarily trained, you know, maybe they didn't have access to a class like this or something like that, and they're primarily trained on just how to use the software, whether that be a Best Mix or any of the competitors, or like you said, the, you know, very, very many Excel based formulation programs that were built by their faculty advisor. That is the thing that they have used and will use until the day they retire. Right. And all these things work. It's not that none of them don't work. They all work, and they obviously have their advantages and disadvantages, but they have no idea why. It's a magic thing. It's just like, oh, I changed this here and this, and then it spits out, oh, I have more energy over here. Okay. But then when something's not right, the ability to figure out what's wrong without understanding, at least to some extent, the algebra that happened behind the scenes, turns it into a guess and check exercise, not an actual problem solving exercise. Now, with all that having been said, I would also love to see the look on your faces of your lab students kind of that last week or whatever in class where it's like, so now we're going to show you this. And you know how you've got the 5 pages in 5 weeks, everything you just did, you can do in approximately 30 seconds with this tool. And they look at you and they're like, great, but they're going to be better for it, right?
That's exactly the face I get at the end of that class. It's like, oh, I mean, you made me do all of this, you know, formulation by hand, and then you just did it in about 10 seconds.
Yeah, for the folks on that are in the audience that are listening and know things about like particle size analysis, which is a little bit more my manufacturing world, that when I was in school, our lab TA at the time, it was, no, we're going to learn how to calculate the particle size by hand so that you understand this crazy logarithmic distribution that and understand the math that's going into this. And you sat there and you just spent hours trying to, you know, run the equations. And then, you know, but in reality, in the real world, we just have an Excel sheet. We just type it in 30 seconds and we have an answer. But I'm a lot more comfortable with an idea when it's like, I don't really love, you know, how the distribution looks versus what the particle size says it is. I know why it's showing that though, because here's this spike over here and that's why it's dragging this number down versus just, you know, I guess that's the particle size. So
one of the benefits with the latest technology is there's a lot of error correction within our software. So when a parameter is input incorrectly, it'll flag it. It'll, make it red, and it'll allow for the student to come back and make whatever change is necessary to make it work. So they can do a lot of variations on just the basic formula.
Absolutely. And I would assume to some extent also that means that not only having the software set up that way and having the kind of these teaching method of building the understanding of it helps you guys continue to develop a product based on that feedback that it's going to end up advancing the industry through your program, right? Of working with universities, not just training the students. And obviously training the students is helping the industry advance, but there's also other advancement that's helping the industry by you going, oh, okay, here's something we can do a little different with our programming, things like that, I would assume.
Yeah. So from my perspective, I think that this is really, really foundational technology that is leading to future advancements. So when you think about what's going on right now with these software systems, we can look through an enormous amount of data. The databases are scaled right now that they can handle just, you know, terabytes of information. And, you know, in with the advent of artificial intelligence, these are the platform systems that are really going to drive that technology in the coming years. And so I love the fact that students can get not only this exposure, but they can really get into the software and they can make a lot of changes and try to figure out, hey, you know, when I do this, what happens? You get a little bit of cause and effect, but also to have the platform and the foundation to be able to look at those bigger trends and look at those data points that are affecting the business. And you will never get that in Excel. But with a platform like this and with the new software and the new generation of software, we can really take a generational leap forward, I think.
I would also assume with the way that it's set up, Amy, that gives you a significant advantage in when you're like doing this large class model teaching, because if it's some sort of, you know, a spreadsheet that you're okay, everybody, you know, I'm going to email you the spreadsheet and you send it out to them without going nuts with trying to figure out how to lock cells and hide this and do whatever else. All of a sudden you start getting stuff back that it's like, wait, how did this happen? And you have no idea what maybe they did when they saved something the wrong way or put the thing in the wrong cell or whatever. But the fact that this is all kind of centrally hosted, web-based has got to make the use of it way easier, because you know, it's like, I know what ingredient matrix you're using because you have no control over it and I have all the control over it. And that's got to be really helpful, right?
That's exactly it. So we've worked with Best Mix to create a tenet that we use for that class, that I get to control what they have access to it, and then we can modify it through the semester. And so they get a set of ingredients that they can use for poultry, a set of the ingredients that they can use for swine. And I don't tell them, you know, one of their first assignments, I don't tell them which ingredients to use. I say, go pick which ingredients you're going to use. And then they start to formulate a diet based off of some specs that I've given them. And then they realize, oh, I don't have a source of calcium. Oh, I need this in the diet. This is not optimizing. But I'm able to control some of that. And then we've also set it up to where inside that tenet, basically they have group folders. And so they can see what all of their group is working on, but not the rest of the groups in the class. So we don't have, oh, so-and-so did it over here, so I'm just going to copy what they did. But I can also see everything. And so we do a lot of rough drafts. And I think that's what makes the class powerful from a critical thinking perspective and in preparing those students, is those students are, you know, doing drafts just about weekly, but I can go in and relatively quickly say, give comments that, hey, you have too many specifications on amino acids. That's why you can't bring in soybean meal, or you have X, Y, and Z things on energy. And that's why you've got, 6% fat in your diet. And so that has helped them. And then towards the end of the semester, I kind of give them free rein. They can enter whatever ingredients they want to use. They have to go find the information. So then they can formulate, diets for whatever species that they want to. But I think without not out having that tenet that's, you know, kind of designed to teach students, that gives them access to most of the capabilities of the softwares, but allows us to control how they start with it, I think builds confidence in those students. So it gets them set up for success relatively quickly from the beginning. And there's always growing pains. They're doing something new. It's new to them. But then it allows us to, you know, give them more access as they go on.
Ever in somewhere in the ingredient matrix, take some ingredient and throw like an error value somewhere in the matrix to see if they can figure out why on earth this isn't working?
I didn't intentionally do that until it kind of happened happenstance. I'm just dangerous enough in poultry nutrition to teach a bunch of students, but not proficient enough to be let loose all the time. And so we didn't have AME values for corn in our system. So we had everything else loaded in, but I didn't have an AME value for corn. And so the students are going to formulate and they're all using barley. I'm like, yeah. This is just not cost in our list. And one of the students mid-semester was like, oh, you realize you don't have an energy value for that ingredient? I've toyed with the idea in the future of maybe going and changing some calcium and phosphorus things to be like, that doesn't make sense that we're not bringing in limestone into our formulation.
So we'll assume that we're not having a whole bunch of like University of Missouri undergrads watching. So we have something in our classes, our quality assurance and formulation kind of works in the quality assurance. We use it as a background in addition with quality. If you don't have quality ingredients, here's how it impacts formulation. And we start the process of teaching formulation there. Some of the students will have had it in their animal science or a poultry science class, but we also get folks that are doing like the feed milling minor that are coming out of ag engineering. And so we're teaching them some of the basic tenets of nutrition, including formulation, even that, though that might not be their exact thing, but they need to understand it, right? So we built, similar to what you said, in that class, we start off with, you're going to be doing things by hands, two equations, two unknowns, you're going to learn the math. And then we kind of have a precursor to a fully fledged formulation program, and it's web-based. It's effectively Excel-based that is then web-hosted, really like just incredibly streamlined formulation software. And I'm going to use software very big in quotes, which is intentional. It's supposed to be really simple, right? And one of the things because it is a database built, we had input all the values. And same thing, we accidentally, I forget exactly what the scenario is, but we accidentally on one of the ingredients is probably like monocalcium phosphate, typed in the wrong available phosphorus number. Not the actual phosphorus, but the available phosphorus number. And I'm telling you, it's become one of my absolute favorite questions in the assessment in one of the homework assignments of, hey, you're going to do this, and I'm going to tell you right now it's not going to work. You go figure out why. And it's really fun to like see the students that are able to go through and figure out, I wonder if there's something in the matrix, and start scrolling through the matrix and go, that can't possibly be right. And then we get to have the conversation with them of, and do you think that this is something that's could possibly happen in the real world? You bet you it is 100% that someone typed in the wrong thing and they've been formulating on something. And it's just, I can't figure out why this won't formulate in, like you said. And it's because you missed the decimal somewhere when you were typing it in. So that was kind of why I asked.
It's one of my favorite Wayne Cast quotes from one of these podcasts is that nutrient loadings are everything. And I teach that because it's very easy, particularly in a software setting, is if you're not checking those things, they can change. And so,
all right, so we got a few minutes left here, and I want to ask you both kind of a same version or slightly different versions, but of the same question. And we'll start with you, Michael. What's your vision of the future of how this university partnership program evolves over time?
So for us, I think it is just more exposure. So the work that Amy is doing, and the way that she's using the software at the graduate and undergraduate level is just so powerful. Very, very inspiring for me personally, as well as our company, to see that level of exposure. And it really plays out our belief that the software is easy enough to learn it and use it without having to waste valuable lab time, you know, learning which buttons to click. So, you know, really the vision is we would just love to do this with every university in the country, in North America. And we would love to have every student that ever graduates from animal science have this background and have this knowledge coming into the industry. That would be a real dream for us.
You know, similar question to you, Amy. What's your vision kind of look like? And you know, obviously we're talking about this in the you know, kind of the context of something like working with Best Mix, but just kind of overall academia, working with industry, you know, supporting the future, and in some cases, you know, taking feedback back from the industry and figuring out what we can do to help. And in other cases, actually trying to drive the industry. What's your vision of what the future of that's going to look like?
Yeah. So for me, it's twofold. You know, when I'm in the classroom, I really want to push my students to not just memorize things, to critically think, to learn, to be have ownership in their education, and understand that that's a lifelong journey. One thing that they're going to do in college, they're going to see that over and over again in the future. And with that, we have a large proportion of our student body, and I think this is probably ubiquitous across almost all animal science departments in the country, as students that want to go to vet school, or their access to animals for their entire life has been largely related to veterinary work. And so part of my job as a instructor is to show them the avenues of what a career in animal science can look like, even if you're not a veterinarian. And to me, one of those areas is in this space and is in nutrition and in feed formulation. And so to me, part of this partnership is exposing to our students what is out there and expanding the breadth of their knowledge of what they can do in animal science. And to me, transitioning from just teaching on paper to applying those concepts in real life type of scenarios allows students to see themselves and potentially in careers like that. And we've had students in the class that You know, they thought they wanted to go to vet school. Maybe vet school wasn't for them from an academic perspective, but they really took to doing formulation, took to nutrition, and, you know, now have internships or jobs in that space. To me, that's really encouraging because it puts into vocation a lot of what these types of partnerships and exposing our students to these opportunities and why they're important.
Absolutely. I think those are all great points. All right. Well, that's going to be our time for today. I appreciate both of you joining me for the episode. Again, my guests today have been Michael Murphy. He is the president of Best Mix USA, and Amy Petrie, assistant professor in the Department of Animal Science at the University of Missouri. Thanks to you both. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. On behalf of WiseNetics, I'm Adam Farinholz. This has been the Feed Science Podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And we'll talk to you the next time.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.